Hello, Sid Roth here. Let me tell you something. I have a question for you. My question is, now normally you ask me questions, but my question for you is, how did something so Jewish that took place in a Jewish land that involved just Jewish people, that involved just the Jewish scriptures, that involved the one that died on the cross and rose from the dead, and on the cross it said, King of the Jews, become the opposite of Judaism, literally. How did something become so un-Jewish that started out not 99.9 like ivory, 100% Jewish? I have from the land of Israel a scholar, Dr. Robert Fisher. Now, Bob, that is really a phenomenal question. Most people don't even know that Jesus is Jewish, let alone how the land, how Christianity became the opposite of Judaism. How'd this all happen?
Well, Sid, it started out Jewish, as you point out, but then it got carried off to Rome. It got carried off to Emperor Constantine, where a mix took place between the Jewish understanding in the Torah and the pagan understanding in Mithraism. And there was a combination of pure Torah Judaism and an understanding of Yeshua.
All right, you got to help. I know this. Torah is what?
Torah is the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, excuse me. The Tanakh is the whole thing.
Okay, so you're telling me it started out with pure Judaism, pure Torah, pure first five books of the Old Testament, and then paganism came in through Constantine?
Well, first we had Yeshua, of course, Jesus show up. And then when the whole Jewish understanding, when Christianity began as a Jewish understanding, and it was exported through Paul to a variety of places, including Rome, it got mixed up with pagan understandings. Mithraism is sun worship, and Constantine was a sun worshiper. So the pure Jewish understanding was mixed in with the paganistic understandings, and we got this big blur. And then it came back full circle to Israel and elsewhere in the form of the Byzantine Church. And that's when the church really began as a mix of pure Judaism and paganism.
But wait a second now, you're saying paganism. Are you saying that there are traditions in Christianity today that are pure pagan?
They're a combination of paganism and, but there, yes, to answer your question, yes, there are such things as the worship of the sun.
Wait a second. They don't worship the sun in Christianity.
Well, you might be surprised. The halo, for example.
On these pictures, the halo over the saints?
The halo is a very satanic, paganistic symbol. In every Roman Catholic cathedral, you'll notice that the dome is a sunburst, a pure sunburst. The sun symbol is predominant. It's on the papal vestments. It's in the domes of the cathedral, as I point out. It's very predominant. Mithra was the sun god.
But wait a second. The one thing I know about Judaism is we don't want idolatry. So therefore, if the first church was all Jewish, why did they allow this?
They didn't really allow it. It simply happened. For the first several decades of the religion or of the faith in Israel, it was entirely Jewish or almost entirely Jewish. Certainly there were some Gentile believers, and they were worshiping, you know, they were anticipating the arrival of a Jewish Messiah who looked just like Jesus, just like Yeshua. And when he showed up, they embraced him in droves. Then the whole thing got exported. It got exported to Rome, and it got polluted, like I say, with all of these things. For example, Shabbat, Saturday, is the...
The Sabbath.
The Sabbath. The Sabbath is the ordained biblical day, the holy day. And in 325 at the Council of Nicaea, it was officially changed by Constantine to Sunday, literally sun, S-U-N-D-A-Y, which was the birthday of Mithra.
But wait, there still had to be some Jewish believers in this Council of Nicaea that would say, stop, you're violating one of the Ten Commandments.
Wouldn't that be something that one would expect? However, all of the so-called Jewish bishops, to use the church term, were excluded from the Council of Nicaea.
Why?
Because the church had already, the church fathers and Constantine and his people had already de-Judaized the original Jewish Christian understanding, if you will.
Help me out. Why would they do that? Why would they change what's in the scriptures? What was the motivation?
They simply wanted to distance themselves from everything Jewish. There was an innate anti-Semitism that existed from the very beginning. Everything Jewish went down the road, and everything, I shouldn't say everything, but they tried to get rid of things that were purely Jewish. Obviously, they couldn't get rid of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. They couldn't get rid of some of the basic understandings, but they did get rid of so many purely Jewish things.
Now, all right, they got rid of it. So that's the answer to my question.
Yeah.
But then what happened to all those Jewish people that believed in Jesus?
They continued on. They were all in Israel for all intents and purposes. At that point in time, I hate to call them Messianic Jewish believers, but they were believers. They were Jews that were anticipating the arrival of the Jewish Messiah, and they embraced him, and they went on worshiping as Jews. They simply were looking for this Messiah. This is recorded in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They understood everything about him, who he would be. They understood that he would be atoning.
I'll tell you what, we'll be right back after this word. I'm speaking to Dr. Bob Fisher from Israel. He's an Israeli scholar. And I'll tell you something, I have seen these DVDs that he has produced, and they are sensational. Okay, Bob, we're talking about how something so Jewish became the opposite of Judaism. This fellow Constantine changed things legally. He changed the Sabbath, you said, or the Shabbat to Sunday. A question that a lot of our people are wondering right now. That is there anything wrong with worshiping God on Sunday?
Absolutely not. God can be worshiped on any day.
So did God change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday?
Certainly he didn't. I mean, this is one of the commandments. Saturday is Saturday, Shabbat is Shabbat.
Okay, out of curiosity, I'll tell you what happens to me. You see, I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus also, and I observe the Sabbath, but you'll find me in church most Sundays. The reason that I observe the Sabbath is the commandments say do it. You know how I observe it? The word Sabbath means rest. That's my day of rest. When someone goes to church, that's not rest. You talk to a pastor, you ask him if he's at rest on Sunday. Yeah. He's not. God created the human body to be at rest. Okay, what about Easter? Where did this come from? The bunny and the Easter eggs?
Oh, this is something else that happened at the Council of Nicaea in 325. Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, took place. It was a Jewish thing. It took place on the 14th of Nisan, which is Pesach, Passover. It was a Jewish holiday. For reasons of their own, again, to distance themselves from everything Jewish about the faith, Constantine mandated that the holiday be changed to a fertility god named Ostra. Ostra was a pagan fertility goddess, and this was her birthday. She was a pagan thing. So the Easter bunny, it's a fertility symbol. The Easter egg is a fertility symbol. You know, we're actually selling resurrection eggs, they're called. These are plastic eggs that are sold to our children. They contain a verse of scripture. So we're packaging scripture in a plastic egg that we're giving to our children. They're receiving the word of God in a pagan symbol. This is the blending I was talking about. It's a modern day example.
Well, you know what I find fascinating in going through your DVDs is you talk about the early roots of Christianity, and I have a question for you. We know at Pentecost that 3,000 Jewish people became believers in the Messiah. What did they do? They didn't have any, they went to the temple. We know that from the Bible. They went into homes. What are 3,000 Jewish people that are brand new believers in Jesus and know nothing else except Judaism too.
Well, they met in synagogues. They were welcomed with open arms by all of the other sects of Judaism at the time. They met in synagogues. They met in the upper room, of course, on Mount Zion that held about 120 of them. But as you point out, 3,000 in one day, we read in the book of Acts. But there were many, many thousand, maybe even as many as a million Jewish believers, according to some
sources. Did you get that? A million Jewish believers in Jesus at the turn of the first century?
Yeah. This is one estimate. It may not be that high, but it certainly was at least a half a million. But imagine these people meeting in synagogues, meeting in their homes. There was clearly a home church, to use the expression, kind of worship system at the time. They met in homes, they met in synagogues, they met wherever they could meet. But it was a very vital and active religion, and it was entirely Jewish at that point in time.
What about Christmas? Where'd that come from?
Christmas is another pagan holiday. Christmas is the winter solstice when Mithra, the sun god, was born. This was his birthday, so this was mandated as the celebration. It was created by man. It was created by Constantine again and the church fathers as the celebration. Of course, you know, we don't know when Yeshua was born with any certainty, but we generally believe he was born during the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the fall.
Well, then, if he was born then, when did Miriam, and by the way, send me letters. I do know the English is Mary, but Miriam was her name. Mary, the name, didn't even exist 2,000. Did it exist 2,000 years ago?
Of course not. Did. Of course. What Mary? Mary? No.
The name Mary. Miriam existed. Okay, yeah. So when did Miriam conceive?
Well, she probably conceived during Hanukkah. You know, if you start out that he was born in all likelihood on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, then he would have been circumcised on the eighth day, which was the last day. And if you back up 9 months, he was conceived during the Feast of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, which is really exciting.
Tell me, I'm getting it. The light bulb is going on. Yeah. But tell me about another biblical festival that had to do with Yeshua.
All biblical festivals have to do with Yeshua. Well, Pesach, for example, is Passover. Passover was the day or the time frame when he was crucified and he rose again.
My goodness, why didn't you tell Mel Gibson this? I'll tell you what, we're going to be back in just a moment, and there are so many things I'm curious about. I know you are, too, about these new, brand-new Jewish believers in Jesus, but don't go away. Be right back. Hello, Sid Roth here with Dr. Robert Fisher from Israel, Israeli scholar, and those DVDs, that DVD that you did is so fabulous. I wish that every Christian and every Jew in the world could take that course. Let me find out just a little bit about you. Both parents are Jewish. That's what the rabbis ask me.
Yes, they are.
Okay. But from what I understand, Bob, you were not raised in a religious home at all. It's totally secular type of home. But you had a belief in God, and you became a believer in Jesus in the military. You went to churches, and so you pretty much assimilated. But something changed. What caused that to change?
My darling wife, Donna, when I proposed to her, I was really hesitant to admit to her. I said, honey, there's one thing you need to know before you agree to marry me, and that's that I'm a Jew. And her face lit up, and she was so thrilled over our Judaism. Well, Donna has been the inspiration for me, and she, through her persuasion, convinced me that I needed to attend a Messianic Jewish congregation. And we did in Federal Way, Washington. We went for the first time, and I found my identity there. I understood that I was a believer in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach.
But you went from totally Gentile to this message. What did you feel the minute you walked in there?
I knew my identity. I looked up at the altar, and I saw the altar cloth with a menorah. And I looked above it, and I saw the cross. And I knew who I was. I knew that I was a born-again Jew who was saved by the shed blood of Messiah. And it was a wonderful thing to have found my identity.
Okay, you found your identity, but you have a wonderful job. Who were you working for?
I was working for the Boeing company at the time.
Pretty top-level job.
It was a great job in international marketing. It was a fabulous job with good pay. And
so why did you leave that to go to Israel?
Because God called us there. It was just a miraculous thing. He spoke to us. He spoke to us individually and together. And we had no doubt whatsoever that we were supposed to literally walk out the door, put our house on the market, and go to Israel. So we did. And it was a wonderful decision. We've been greatly blessed. And I would encourage every Jewish listener to do the same thing. You belong in Israel.
And I would encourage every Gentile Christian to do the same thing. You belong visiting Israel. Bob, why did you do this course, this on DVD?
I did this course because so many people in the church, so many Jews don't understand that the Bible begins with Genesis and it ends with Revelations, that the faith, that the Christian faith is the fulfillment of Judaism. President Bill Clinton once said that there were three great monotheistic religions, which is, you know, this is absolutely wrong. There's one great monotheistic religion, and that religion is Judaism. Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. So I did this course to teach the pervasive roots of Christianity, to teach that they were Jewish, to show this in the Old Testament, to show this in the Dead Sea Scrolls, to show this in a matter of other historical rootings, that it's indisputable that Christianity is a very Jewish religion.
Well, you know what's so exciting to me? Very few of our viewers and listeners have ever heard, they've heard of Pharisees, they've heard of Sadducees, but they've never heard of these Essenes and the revelations from the Dead Sea Scrolls. I want you, when you saw some of those revelations of what the Essenes believed, just very quickly, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, name three things, the Essenes, which were the third type of Judaism, what did they believe?
Well, first of all, they believed that the Messiah that would be forthcoming would be he would be atoning, he would atone for their sins, he would be from the line of David, he would appear imminently, and then he would appear in the eschatological future at the end of days. They understood who the Messiah was, but Pauline theology is written all over the scrolls.
A couple examples,
grace, for example, grace and predestination.
Listen, here's the thing that blew me out of the water. They believed in the triune nature of God. They believed in the deity of the Messiah. I think it's time to get a question. Let's go to, is that Teresa in Naperville? Sid Roth, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Sid, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Teresa, quickly, your question.
Okay, I want to know which feast has the gushing water coming out, where they pour out water and it just gushes out, and what that symbolizes.
Okay, well, I know what she's talking about, Bob. What she's talking about is the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. And they would pour water, and Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, walked by one day, and he said in the Gospel of John, that you will have rivers of living water flowing continuously from your innermost being. And you know what those rivers were, Teresa?
The Holy Spirit.
You got it. Thank you for calling. Bob, what do you think about the Feast of Tabernacles?
I think the Feast of Tabernacles is an incredible time. There were giant menorahs that lit up the whole city of Jerusalem at the time. They were fired by the underwear of rabbinical students at the time, and they were olive oil lamps. The wick was actually the underwear of these students, and they lit up the whole city. And you know, this is when Yeshua came to town, and you know what he said? He said, I am the light of the world.
Listen, it gets better and better, but the most important thing that I can tell you, more important than anything else we have said, is there is something bigger. We were talking about, if you will, the conspiracy, the Constantine conspiracy that occurred in Christianity. But you know, there is a rabbinical conspiracy that occurred in Judaism. We'll talk about that next week. However, what is more important than the religion of Christianity, what is more important than the religion of Judaism, is become a true Jew. You know what the word Jew means? A worshiper of God. How can you be a worshiper of someone you don't know? The first thing is to have intimacy with God. If you will tell God you're sorry for sins, sins such as watching pornography, sex outside of marriage, abortion, sins such as being involved in the New Age, if you will tell God you're sorry and believe the blood of the King of the Jews, Yeshua, Jesus, washed away your sins, then you'll be clean, not because of anything you've done, but because of what he did. And once you are clean, ask Yeshua, Jesus, to live inside of you, to become real. Start reading your Bible. Start believing that he hears you. I'll tell you, I am so excited about knowing God. I wish everyone, everywhere, could know God the way I do. And I'll tell you what, God is so good that you can know him as well as I know him. You can know him as well as Dr. Robert Fisher knows him. Get excited. Know God. That's the deal. Know him. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter.